Welcome back to our deep dive into mindfulness for kids. In part one, we explored the basics of mindfulness, the amazing benefits it offers, and a whole bunch of techniques you can try with your little ones. Now, let's get even more practical. Let's talk about how to actually adapt these practices for different ages and stages.
Yes, because let's be real, what works for a toddler might not work for a teenager, right? So how do we make sure these techniques actually fit where kids are at developmentally?
Exactly. It's all about meeting them where they're at developmentally. So let's start with those little bundles of energy, toddlers. They're all about exploring, using their senses. So we want to use that natural curiosity.
Okay, so what kind of mindfulness practices would actually work with a toddler?
For toddlers, keep it simple, keep it playful, keep it engaging. Think about things that involve movement, sensory exploration, and short bursts of attention. Things like mindful breathing exercises with fun visualizations. Like, remember those bubbles we talked about?
Yeah.
Or smelling imaginary flowers? Those are perfect for toddlers. You can even bring mindfulness into their playtime. Encourage them to notice the different colors of their toys, the textures, the sounds, or try a super simple body scan. Guide them to wiggle their toes, squeeze their hands, feel their tummies go up and down as they breathe. The key is to make it fun, not a chore.
I love that. It's like weaving mindfulness into their everyday life instead of making it a separate formal thing.
Exactly. And as kids move into preschool and early elementary school, their attention spans get a little longer, and they can understand slightly more complex ideas, so we can start to add a bit more structure and variety.
Okay, so what kind of practices would be good for preschoolers and early elementary kids?
Well, think about it. This age group loves stories, songs, games, so you can totally use those. Mindful storytelling, for example. Pause during the story to ask questions, encourage the kids to notice their feelings. You can also try simple guided meditations, maybe with themes they love, like animals, nature, superheroes. And don't forget about mindful movement, things like yoga, dance, or even just walking mindfully in nature. Oh, and this age group is also starting to understand gratitude. So a gratitude jar where they write down things they're thankful for, that's a great idea.
I love all of those. They're so playful and fun.
Mm-hmm.
But they're also teaching such important life skills.
That's the magic of mindfulness. It can be a part of so many different things. Now, when kids become tweens and teens, things get a little more, well, complicated. And this is where a lot of parents start to feel lost.
That's an understatement. Mm-hmm. Teenagers are a whole different world. So how do we make mindfulness relevant to them? How do we make it something they'll actually want to do?
With tweens and teens, we have to acknowledge their challenges. They're dealing with so much pressure from school, from their friends, even online. Mindfulness can help them cope with stress, anxiety, even those big, intense emotions that come with being a teenager. Instead of telling them they should do mindfulness, invite them to explore different practices and see what works for them.
So it's less about structured exercises and more about giving them tools to handle their own inner world.
Exactly. Maybe it's yoga or journaling or mindful art. Maybe it's listening to calming music. You could suggest mindfulness apps or guided meditations made for teens. They often talk about things like self-esteem, body image, social media. The point is, give them choices. Let them take charge of their own practice.
That makes so much sense. It's not about forcing it on them. It's about empowerment.
Exactly. And no matter how old your child is, one of the most important things you can do is model mindfulness yourself. When they see you prioritizing your own well-being, they're more likely to do the same.
That's such a good reminder. It's about what we do, not just what we say. Okay, so we talked about adapting practices for different age groups. But what about different personalities, different learning styles? How do we make sure we're choosing practices that really click with each individual child?
Ah, that's where mindful parenting comes in. It's all about being present and tuned in to our kids' needs, just like we try to be with mindfulness itself. Some kids love active practices, things that involve movement. Others might prefer quieter, more thoughtful techniques. You have to pay attention to your child's cues and be willing to experiment.
It's like we need to bring that same curiosity and non-judgment to our parenting.
You got it. Mindful parenting and mindfulness for kids, they go hand in hand. When we approach both with that open mind, we can help our kids find the practices that really speak to them.
This is so inspiring. But I also know that parenting rarely goes perfectly. What are some of the challenges parents face when they try to bring mindfulness into their kids' lives, and how can we actually overcome them?
That's a great question. It's important to be realistic. One common challenge is just finding the time, right? Life is busy. But remember, mindfulness doesn't have to be this big, time-consuming thing. It's about finding those little pockets of peace throughout the day.
Okay, that takes the pressure off.
Mm-hmm.
What are some examples of those little pockets?
Think simple. Taking a few mindful breaths together before bedtime, or having a mindful moment during breakfast, weave it into your routine instead of making it a separate thing. Another challenge that kids might resist. They might think it's boring or weird or just not for them, and that's okay.
So how do we deal with that resistance without turning it into a fight?
Meet them where they are. Make it fun. Let them help choose the practices. Let them lead the way. Be playful with it. If they don't want to sit still for meditation, try a mindful walk in nature or a mindful art activity. If they think gratitude is cheesy, make it a game. Like share something funny you're grateful for. It's all about finding what works for your child and their personality.
I love that.
Yeah.
It's about making it a shared experience, not something we force on them. But what if we get stuck? What if we don't know how to move forward?
Don't worry. Don't get discouraged if your child isn't immediately on board or if you hit some bumps in the road. Mindfulness is a skill. It takes time and practice like anything else. Be patient, be consistent, and most importantly, be kind to yourself. And you don't have to be a mindfulness expert to do this. There are so many resources out there to help you. Books, websites, apps, even local classes for families. Don't be afraid to ask for help.
That's so reassuring. So as we wrap up this part of our deep dive, what are the most important things for parents to remember as they start this mindfulness journey with their kids?
That's a great question. First, start with yourself. The more you practice mindfulness, the more real and powerful it will be for your kids. Second, make it fun. Mindfulness should be enjoyable, not a chore. Try different things. Be playful. See what your child loves. Third, be patient and consistent. Mindfulness is a skill. It develops over time. Don't get discouraged if you or your child miss a day or feels resistant. Just keep coming back to it gently and kindly. And finally, remember that mindfulness is a gift you can give yourself and your child. It's a way to create a calmer, more connected family life. Embrace the journey, enjoy the process, and watch how mindfulness changes your family's well-being.
That's beautiful. I feel so much more prepared to bring mindfulness into my own parenting journey. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and expertise with us.
It's been my pleasure. And remember, you're not alone in this. There are so many mindful parents out there ready to support you.